Like today to turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. Very familiar verse of Scripture. I'd like to read the first verse, 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. I have preached probably 15 different messages from this first phrase, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. I know I've preached a couple different messages from this since we've been here. This is very amazing. Phrase, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The book of 1 John, of course, was written by John, who no doubt by this time was well advanced in years. As you read the Gospel of John, you see that John was one who was very much aware, one who was very caught up with the fact that the Lord loved him. He referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And by the time that he came to write 1 John, of course, many years has passed, and now he knows even more about that love, and now he feels that love even more. And we see that he writes upon it throughout the book of 1 John. He writes about the love of God. This was a personal love that John felt from the Lord. We want to look at the love of God today. We want to preface that by saying there are many today who believe that God loves everything and everybody. There is no scriptural basis for that thought process at all. In fact, the Bible teaches just the opposite. But knowing that God does not love everything, knowing that God does not love everybody, makes his love that much more special. We see two things in this phrase. First of all, there is an exhortation to us, something we are to do. We are to behold God's manner of love. That's a duty that we have. We also want to consider why we should do that. Why should we behold God's manner of love upon us? So first of all, we see here there is an earnest call to each and every one of us that know the Lord, to each and every one of us that are saved, to each and every child of God to do something. And what we are to do, we see in that very first word, we are to behold. We are to behold. That is a verb indicating action. It is in the active voice, which simply means we are the ones who are to act. We are the ones to behold. It is something that we ought to do, but obviously it is also something that we can do. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That word behold is in the imperative. That means it's a command. It is a command of God. It is something that we are obligated to do. It is also our privilege and our opportunity to do. But that word, behold, means to ponder. Ponder the manner of God's love. It means to observe. Now, how do we observe God's love? Well, we can observe God's love by observing what the Word of God says about it. That's certainly one way. We can observe God's love by just looking at the examples of His love in our lives. But we are to observe His love. The word behold also means to meditate, to give serious thought to this subject. When was the last time you meditated upon the fact of God's love for you? When was the last time you just thought and thought about that and considered it and contemplated it? That's what this word behold means. To behold is to see something. We are to see the manner of God's love. To behold also is to know something. So we are not only to see it, we're not only to observe it and meditate upon it, we're to know it. We are to know the manner of love that God has upon us. To behold means to earnestly or to very carefully inspect. Inspect God's love. That is, weigh it very carefully. Concentrate on it. Pry into it. Try to discover everything that you can possibly discover about God's love. We're to inwardly digest the manner that God loves us. The word behold is a word that is used when something extraordinary, when something momentous is presented to our attention, we read that word behold. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. That is, there was something extraordinary and momentous about His person, about who He was. And John the Baptist said, behold Him. And now John here says, behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So let's look at these words here in verse 1. We've already seen the word behold. The next word is what? Behold what? It's a word that expresses identity. The identity here, of course, is the manner of His love. It's a word that expresses the character and nature. He says, I want you to pry into the character and nature of God's love. The word manner is a word expressing form, the form of God's love. God's love is different than any other love. We do a great disservice and injustice when we try to compare something to God's love. You can't do it. When you try to compare a mother's love to God's love, you've done an injustice to God's love. There's just nothing you can compare it to. So He says, behold what manner, behold the form, behold the quality, behold the kind, behold the degree. And there is nothing that can compare to the kind of love that God has for us. There is nothing that can compare to the degree of love that God has for us. So He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. That word bestowed means given. It's a love that God has given us. It is a love that God has expressed. It is a love of God that has shown us. It means to extend, to lavish. upon us. And then you can consider that word us. And that's what makes God's love so amazing, is that it involves us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So we have here a call to ponder, to observe, to meditate, to give serious thought and careful consideration, to study, to pry into, to know the character, and to know the nature and quality of the love that God has extended toward us and lavished upon us. The idea is that you and I need to have a better understanding of God's love for us. We need to have a greater appreciation for the type of love that God has bestowed upon us. And this is not something that we are to do every now and then. We're to behold it. It is continuous. It is something that we ought to stop and ponder every single day. It is words that we need to hear every day. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. It's words that we need to hear in every trial, in every circumstance, in every situation that we might find ourselves in. We need to hear those words. We need to follow that instruction. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. So it's never out of season. It's never inappropriate to consider the love that God has for us. To just stop and consider, God loves me. Think about that. God loves me. That's indescribable. You cannot comprehend that. That goes beyond human comprehension. That God loves me. That God loves a people. That again is without comparison. That is matchless. It is the book of Ephesians, Paul describes it, the love. It has a width, it has a length, it has a depth, it has a height, but all of that is immeasurable. You cannot measure the love of God. It is not possible to even begin to measure the love of God. That's why we read in John 3, verse 16, for God so loved. That word so, you cannot describe it. It is beyond human comprehension. This is not ordinary love. This goes way beyond ordinary. This is extraordinary. This love is absolutely unique. It is unique. We appreciate love that we receive from other individuals. Certainly, we appreciate the love of a mother, the love of a father, and all of those things. But this goes way beyond that. This is not ordinary. It is natural for a mother to love her child. It is natural for a father to love their children. That's natural. This is a love that is unique. It is a love of the Father. That is, the Father, He's infinitely holy. The heavens cannot contain Him. He's all sufficient. He needs nothing from you and I. Nothing at all. His glory is the astonishment of the most glorious of beings in heaven. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And all of those things are remarkable. Everything about God is remarkable. But this, He loves me. That's unique. That again is beyond human comprehension. And John found the subject of God's love to be a cause of great wonder. It was more than just a doctrine to John. Now I enjoy studying the doctrine of God's love because I believe most of Christendom is in grave error concerning the doctrine of God's love. And I enjoy the doctrine of God's love. But we're not just talking now about the doctrine of God's love. John wasn't just caught up in the doctrine of God's love. He's talking about God's love. And that was a wonderful thing to him. John, no doubt, believed the doctrine of God's love. And he wrote, perhaps more than any other writer in the New Testament, about the love of or the doctrine of God's love. But what he's dealing with here goes beyond the doctrine. John felt the love of God in his life. He could feel the power of God's love. He could feel the fervency of God's love. He could feel the tenderness and the compassion and the long-suffering and the mercy of God's love. And the older he got in the Lord, I believe the more he felt these things and the more he was amazed that God loved him. And it was just something that John enjoyed thinking about, that God loved him. And it ought to give us joy to think about that. But he says, behold what manner. Behold the manner of God's love. And as we've said many times before, God's love is particular. God's love is selective. God's love is discriminating. God loves. The Bible also teaches that God hates. The Bible teaches that very plainly. You may not like it, but that's what it teaches. But the wonder of wonders is not that God hates. You see, anybody that has a problem with God hating really does not understand what they are. I mean, that's not the mystery. If God hated me, there's nothing mysterious about that. There's nothing amazing about that. Because there's absolutely nothing in me lovable. So that would not be an amazing thing. Esau, I hated, is not the mystery. I understand that. I understand how a holy God could hate Esau. What is beyond human comprehension is, Jacob have I loved. And you think about it. Esau had more favorable personality traits than Jacob ever had. Jacob was a liar, a cheater, a deceiver. But Jacob have I loved. You see, that's the mystery. And God's love is selective. So if God loves me, He selected to do so. That thrills my soul. He chose to do so. His manner of love for me is eternal. Jeremiah, he says that he's loved us with an everlasting love. There's never been a time when God did not love me. Even when I was not in existence, God loved me. He has loved me with an everlasting love. That means there's never been a time when He did not love me. And it means there's never going to be a time when he does not love me. It is a love without beginning, and it is a love without ending. His love is unconditional. It's got to be. If you and I are sinners, and God is holy, and you and I have absolutely nothing to offer a holy God, the only way he can love us is unconditionally. It is uninfluenced. That is, there is absolutely no cause for God's love outside of himself. God loves me because he loves me. God loves me because he chose to love me. It has absolutely nothing to do with me. It's unconditional. It's not because of my parents. It has nothing to do with God's love for me. It has absolutely nothing to do with any of my relatives, because if you examine my family tree, if you examine your family tree, you're going to find the same thing in every one of them, a line of rebels against God. Has nothing to do with any of my relatives. God's love for me. Has absolutely nothing to do with my friends. Has absolutely nothing to do with my acquaintances. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything in me. There is absolutely nothing in me that is lovable. And the same is true of you. Not because of any merit in me. And all of these individuals that say, well, God saw in the future and he saw that you would choose him, so he chose to love you. Well, first of all, that goes against 1 John chapter 4. Secondly, who do you think you are? God saw that I would do something good, so he loved me. That's conditional love. That's conditional love. His love, and I love Ephesians 2. Well, let's turn there. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. There's two words that we want to notice in particular. Verse 4 says, "But God," the first three verses describes what we are by nature. But God. That changes everything. Who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. That is the ones described in verses 1 through 3. And then those next two words. Notice, wherewith he loved us even when. Even when. Even when we were guilty and filthy and depraved, even then, God loved us. I'm so glad that I did not have to make myself lovable before God loved me. He loved me even when. He loved me even when I had no love for him. He loved me even when I was an enemy of his and was a sinner and enjoyed sinning. And walked according to the course of this world and enjoyed it. He loved me even when. You see, it's unconditional. It's an unconditional love. He loved me when I was filled with hatred. Filled with hatred against God. Filled with hatred toward God's people. Filled with malice toward God and toward God's people and toward the things of God. He loved me even when. It's an unconditional love. For 18 years, fleeing from God, and he loved me even then. Wanting absolutely nothing to do with the Lord. When we were held in the chains of sin, he loved us even then. So again, it's unconditional. His love is infinite. can't measure it. My sin, I believe, also is infinite. In my eyes. But God's love goes beyond my sin. You cannot begin to count the sins that you have committed in a lifetime. But I know this, that God's love goes beyond all of my sin. We were guilty. How guilty were we? As guilty as you can be, however much that is. But I know this, that God's love goes beyond all of my guilt. God's love goes beyond all of my shortcomings. God's love goes beyond all of my needs. It's infinite. It's also sacrificial. No love is sacrificed more than God's love. No love has given more than God's love. And that's why when people say, well, you know, I'm going to forsake the Lord here because, you know, they've been my friends for a long time and I don't want to go against them. You have no idea of God's love. I mean, that very thought process is total ignorance of God's love. You do not have a friend, you do not have an acquaintance, you do not have a mother or a father that loves you.